Hello and welcome to Ag PhD Radio. I'm Darren Hefty.
And I'm Brian Hefty. Thanks for joining us today. We've got a great show for you. We're going to talk about pre-emerge corn herbicides, but if you're not a corn farmer, just keep in mind a lot of these herbicides and some of the general statements we'll talk about with these herbicides apply to most crops. We believe very heavily in using residual herbicides, using many of them on the pre-emerge aspect. So we're going to talk about that today and just flat out, how do you get the most out of the herbicide that you're going to use? I mean, let's face it, times are on many farms not fantastic right now economically. So we've got to figure out how can we spend the least amount of money and get the very, very best results when it comes to weed control.
There's a couple complicating factors here, Brian. One, many of these products have gone off patent, so there's lots of different versions of similar chemistry. And two, there's so many premixes out there that it's sometimes hard to know what you're getting because you know, all right, it has these two ingredients, but at what rates? Because there's another product that looks kind of similar but has different rates. Maybe one is heavier on the group 15, which when I say group 15, that means products like Harness, Surpass, Outlook, Dual, Metolachlor, Acetachlor, those kinds of products that are mainly grass herbicides, but they do have some impact on small-seeded broadleaves. But then a lot of them are packaged in premixes with miso or different broadleaf components that are going to come in and just hammer the broadleaf. Sharpen is in, like Verdict, for example. And so you have to kind of think a little bit, all right, what do I really want? Do I want to focus on grass? Do I want to focus on broadleaf? And then what's the most cost-effective way to get it? Because honestly, Brian, if you look at the program and say, well, here's what I did last year, I'll just do the same thing this year, you may be spending way more money than you need to because a lot of these products have moved around in pricing. And also with programs and finance options, some of them have gotten way cheaper this year.
All right, so we are broadcasting today from the Morton studio, and yes, we are going to try to help you simplify this just a little bit. But to Darren's point, it's never going to be super simple anymore. Like I remember 25 years ago, over 25 years ago,
when choices.
I was a young agronomist. Yes, there were almost no choices.
Do you want to go lasso or do you want to go dual?
Well, yeah, but you also had atrazine back then, and you theoretically could have thrown out dicamba or 2,4-D, but back then, nobody was doing...
No, you had to save them for the post-application.
Well, okay, so there are two primary questions that we want you to ask yourself before you ever begin this discussion. Number one is, do I want better grass control or better broadleaf control out of my pre? And number two is, what do I want to use post? Now, that doesn't mean you're necessarily going to use it, but here's the reason why I bring that up. In corn, the use of these HPPD herbicides is almost essential anymore to keeping your cost down because they're very inexpensive and they're very effective on most weeds that we're after. By HPPD products, we're talking about Callisto, Laudis, Impact, Armazon, and on the pre side, a lot of people will talk Balance Flex. All those are HPPD herbicides. They turn weeds white. Okay. So the point is simply this. If you say, look, I want to use an HPPD product post. I want to use Callisto or one of those kind of products post-emerge. Then I say, all right, that helps me a lot because as an agronomist now, I'm going to make a different recommendation for you pre-emerge. I am not going to put an HPPD out there pre-emerge. And it does. Here's where it gets so confusing for everybody because there are so many products that are premixes. They have more than one type of herbicide in them. So let's take, for example, some of the most popular ones like Acuron, Acuron Flexi, and Halix. They all have an HPPD herbicide in them. So you can use them and you say, well, it doesn't say Callisto. I get that. The name is not Callisto, but there's Callisto in it. That's the HPPD family. We don't want you using that twice per season, mainly for carryover concerns. But the second reason we don't want you using it twice per season is we're extremely worried about weed resistance building up. When we've got a super cheap option, where literally post-emerge, we're talking $3 to $5 an acre for a full rate. If that's all it costs, we don't want to screw that up and all of a sudden we can't use that anymore. It's just like Roundup. That would have been, I mean, just think if today you still had workable Roundup. I mean, if Roundup still actually killed the weeds, wouldn't we all be happier? Because our costs would be less. So let's not mess this up on the HPPD side. Our biggest piece of advice for you when it comes to herbicides is use multiple effective modes of action. Multiple effective modes of action. So we were talking just the other day, and I was doing some training with agronomists. And I said, okay, let's talk through. There was a herbicide that somebody brought up that contained a PPO. It contained an ALS herbicide. And then it contained an HPPD. And I said, all right, how many effective modes of action do we have? Well, the key thing is, what weed are you after? So like I said at the beginning, grass or broadleaf? Okay, so if you say broadleaf, broadleaves are my big concern. All right. So if I've got three modes of action there, PPO, ALS, HPPD, then what am I going to kill? HPPD, I can get the broadleaves. All right. ALS, am I going to get the broadleaves? Probably not. I've got a lot of ALS-resistant broadleaf weeds out there. Okay. Then if I go, let's say it's a PPO or let's say it's a group 15, can those kill the broadleaf weeds like, let's say, kochia, water hemp, palmer, ragweed, those types of weeds? Do they have activity on them? Yes, but it's rate sensitive. So in other words, if you're going to have a tiny little rate, not much activity. If you're going to have a great big rate, then yeah, there's a fair amount of activity. So we have to ask ourselves these questions. All right. So as I start going through this, and I apologize because I said I'm going to try to simplify it for you, and you probably just said, Brian, you're making this more confusing. There are so many different things to look at. Well, guess what? That's why we're doing a whole show on this. We'll talk through some of your pre-emerge corn herbicide choices. Here's the good news. A lot of the prices have come down over the last few years. Here's the other piece of good news. A lot of these products are very effective at the weeds that you want to get controlled, whether we're talking grass or broadleaf. We'll get into all that today. Stay tuned. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio.
White mold, sudden death syndrome, root rot. If you raise soybeans, it may seem like you have all the cards stacked against you when it comes to disease. But did you know there is a new cost-effective seed treatment which can help prevent all three? Heads Up Seed Treatment offers a new proactive approach for dealing with fungal and bacterial diseases. Compatible with other seed treatments, hedge your bet against disease this spring. Ask your dealer for Heads Up today. To locate a dealer, visit headsupst.com.
Worried about glyphosate-resistant weeds and grasses in your corn? Unleash the power of new Impact Z herbicide and get the early post-application advantage you've been waiting for. Save $3 per acre when you combine Impact Z with a qualifying insecticide purchase. Go to buy2save3.com for details. Buy2save3 is a service mark, and Impact Z is a trademark owned by Ambac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Want to cut production costs without losing yield? Brian Ryberg from Buffalo Lake, Minnesota has done just that. Here's his story.
We began using a soil warrior on our farm fall of 2014. We've seen many benefits from better water infiltration, a lot less hours on equipment, fuel, able to reduce our fertilizer side. So it's really simplified our operation.
See what makes Soil Warrior different and better at soilwarrior.com.
Give your corn a strong defense against stress throughout the season with MycoApply EndoPrime SC. MycoApply EndoPrime SC uses four specially selected species of mycorrhizal fungi to protect your crop against stress. That means more access to water and key micronutrients while building a healthy soil structure for stronger crops for years to come. Stronger corn starts beneath the surface. Learn more about MycoApply EndoPrime SC at EndoPrimeCorn.com. Always read and follow label instructions.
Welcome back to Ag PhD Radio. Thanks for joining us today. Today on the show, we are talking about pre-emerge corn herbicides. And first up, we've got Brandon Trogge. He is with FMC. Brandon, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Yourself?
Excellent. All right. So we're very familiar with FMC on the soybean herbicide end of things, with all the Authority products, and there are Spartan herbicides as well. But talk to us just a little bit about FMC products on the corn herbicide end.
Sure, sure. So yeah, the name of the game, at least from our end, has always been flexibility. So what we have is a product known as Anthem Max. And what this provides is your pyroxasulfone, foam, that group 15, in combination with a PPO inhibitor for burn down. So essentially you're getting residual and some contact burn down in labeled weeds in both corn and soybeans as a pre, as well as post-emergence applications.
All right, so you talk about labeled weeds. There are a lot of people out there who are really concerned about, let's say, the ALS-resistant and Roundup-resistant broadleaves. Like in our region, we have kochia, we have water hemp, and a number of others. So you've got here then two modes of action on those, but the Group 15 product is going to give you some activity. What I want to know more about is the PPO herbicide that's in there, basically the same active ingredient that's found in Cadet. How good is that on many of these broadleaves?
So it's very effective when they're small. And so the Cadet traditionally has never been a product that's going to stand alone. What it does great is in combination. You know, if you think back to some of our glyphosate resistance days, you know, when we were first seeing those resistant biotypes show up, the Cadet in many parts of the country helped add a little bit of a boost to those glyphosate applications. You know, it's not weather dependent. And so anytime we're able to limit that that photosynthetic activity on leaf tissues, that's going to help promote any taint mix partner that's going to be with it. And so when we look at the application windows for Anthem Max, as far as a, you know, pre or post application where we want to hit those really small weeds, this is going to help ensure that our residual makes it to the soil, that we're going to get good residual overlap as long as we're, going after a system that includes multiple residuals, and it's going to be a vital piece in that part.
All right, so you talked about the application timing just a little bit. What's my range? How early can I put it on, and how late can I put it on?
So you can look at you can go as early as 45 days pre-plant, and this is going to be, you know, when you think of your pyroxasulfone, you know, it's going to, you know, really like that water to get activated, to get into that soil solution. So we can go as early as that, but what we really like to see is a little bit before planting or even right after the planter, but we can also go up to V4 in corn or V3 in soybeans.
Okay, V4 in corn, V3 in soybeans. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the early pre-side. We're going to talk about that a little bit more later today. I'm a huge believer in the early pre-plant side in the northern geography because we haven't really burned up much of the residual when there's no heat. And, you know, that's probably the biggest thing that I tell people all the time is if you've got all kinds of heat and there's all kinds of weed growth out there, it's going to use up those herbicides. So that's why you want to plant pretty early if you're going to apply very early. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, but then of course, that's always an excellent tool. But when you run into a year like we've had, you know, in 2018 or even this current one, where we can't get on in the fall and we still got snow in many parts of the Great Plains, Northern Plains, then we still have that flexibility to go pre.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing that I like about many of the corn pre's out there. It is a little bit flexible because we just don't know what's going to happen with Mother Nature here. Yep, I'm hoping we can get going early, but we might get going mid-season. It might be a late year. We might have to spray pre. It might end up being, the crop is spiking out of the ground just a little bit. So talk to us just a little bit more. You said up to V4 in corn. Do I have any risks? Do I have any concerns? Is there anything I should be worried about if my corn is spiking and I'm still spraying Anthem X?
You know, generally, you're always going to have some sort of issue, or no, you're not going to have an issue, but you're always going to have some risk when you look at residual herbicides. You know, that's one of the reasons we went, you know, away from them so much when glyphosate came out, because it took a lot of that risk factor out of the equation. Now, because of the resistance, we're having to go back and incorporate some of those older methodologies. And so, you know, if you're looking at cold, wet windows of application, you're always looking at some phyto potential. The Cadet, you know, you will see some PPO speckling on occasion, but rarely do we see that ever influence yield. And in more cases than not, the benefit, and especially the weed control, is going to outweigh any risks that we could potentially run into.
All right. We've been talking to Brandon Truggy. He is with FMC. Brandon, thanks a lot for the time today. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Let's go next to Dan Waldstein. He is with BASF. Hey, Dan, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well today, Brandon.
Excellent. All right. So when we talk about pre-emerge herbicides, I assume one of the ones you want to mention first of all is Verdict. That's one of my favorite products. It's got a PPO in there and a Group 15, somewhat similar to what Brandon was just talking about with FMC. Those the same two modes of action, those same two chemical families, and we just find real good activity out of them early in the season and also good burn down activity out of Verdict. So what else can you tell us about Verdict?
Yeah, so typically with Verdict, we want to go out as a setup rate if we're in a two-pass type system with a 10-ounce rate of Verdict. So that's got 2 ounces of Sharpen in that 10 ounces of Verdict, and then about 8.5 ounces of Outlook. And that gives us pretty good control, not only of broadleafs for burn down, does give us some residual control for both small-seeded and large-seeded broadleaves. And then the Outlook chemistry is good for grass residual as well. So really good tool for not only burn down, but residual control of pretty broad spectrum weeds out there.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned setup rate, because there's sometimes some misunderstanding with between agronomists and farmers about rates and the rate discussion. If we've got a planned post-emerge program that's going to kill a lot of different weeds, we can many times get by with lower rates of those pre's. I do get concerned about that, though, because if you have less residual out there, you might end up with some weeds at the end of the season, too. So the other thing is, when we've got a combination product or a premix product like Verdict, I think that's great when broadleaves are our number one target. I personally prefer straight Outlook at the full rate when I'm talking to a conventional corn farmer whose main concern is grass. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, Outlook is definitely a great tool, residual control for grass, and then you also get the small-seeded broadleaves as well. So yeah, the main thing that Sharpen brings to the table is a lot of the herbicides out there really don't do a great job of residual control of large seeded broadleaves. So one that's, you know, pretty important in some areas, giant ragweed, you've got cocklebur, you know, velvet leaf, some of the morning glory type vines. There's not a lot of chemistries out there that do a really good job residual wise on those weeds. So that's where the Sharpen really helps out when we add that to the Outlook chemistry.
All right, so what else on pre-emerge herbicides, what else would you like to discuss today?
So we've got, we typically position them more in an early post range, but Armazon Pro, we've got flexibility to go pre all the way up to 30-inch tall corn. And, of course, that's got our Outlook chemistry in as well, in addition to the Armazon there for burn down. And then we've got, of course, our Solo Ziduo, which we've seen a lot more use in corn recently, and so a lot of guys looking at residual plus atrazine type application, they can, you know, go pre or early post with that, so there's some flexibility there for weed control.
So Dan, I've only got about 30 seconds left. Why would a farmer use Zidua instead of Outlook?
So Zidua, we tend to get more extended residual for water hemp and Palmer amaranth. The other thing we're looking at here, we actually have pretty good protection from breakdown from sunlight. So if you get a scenario where it sits on the surface, gets exposed to sunlight for breakdown, as did you a chemical
resistant to I think we lost you there, Dan. But again, we were talking to Dan Waldstein. He's with BASF. Thanks a lot, Dan. Appreciate that. I hadn't heard the photo decomposition, that there was a little bit less breakdown with Zidua versus the Outlook.
I have to chat with Dan about that another time and get into that a little bit more. We get a lot of questions about leaving some of these herbicides on top of the ground versus incorporating them. We'll get into that a little more as our pre-emerge corn herbicide discussion continues. Stay tuned.
No secrets here. We all know, regardless of the markets, balanced crop nutrition pays. Agro-liquid fertilizers have the research, technology, and products you need to grow a great crop. We also have an outstanding team of field agronomists ready to help you determine the best use of your fertilizer dollar. Agro-liquid can help you maximize your yield potential effectively and economically. Visit agroliquid.com to find a dealer near you.
What do you think of when you hear Palmer Amaranth or water hemp? If you use Fierce herbicide in your soybean field, you don't have to think about them at all. With two effective modes of action and up to 8 weeks of residual control, Fierce takes on even the toughest weeds like water hemp and Palmer Amaranth. Take control of your soybean field and get rewarded with Roundup Ready Plus when you choose the proven power of Fierce herbicide. Talk to your local retailer today to put Fierce to work in your fields. Always read and follow label directions.
Build with the best. When you choose Morton Buildings for your next farm storage building, you'll experience the Morton advantage at every step, starting before the walls even go up. Since the value of our buildings is in its ability to protect what you have stored inside, we ensure that every component is researched and tested to withstand the elements in all weather conditions. And we back it up with the strongest warranty in the business. Looks better, built stronger, lasts longer. Learn more at MortonBuildings.com.
1 year it could be moisture stress, another Pythium or nematodes. So you need your soybeans to rise ready for whatever the season holds. Now one simple decision provides coverage on four fronts. The Acceleron portfolio, fungicides, insecticides, bioenhancers, and an industry-leading nematicide that strikes where nematodes attack. This season, rise stronger with Acceleron seed treatment products. Learn more at AcceleronSAS.com/rise-ready. Performance may vary. It's important to use proper PPE when handling treated seed.
You need a powerful herbicide to fight the war on weeds. Bellum is Rotam North America's mesotrione herbicide, and it fights against the annual broadleaf weeds attacking your cornfields. Winning this battle means higher yields, lower cost to you, and maximized profitability. For long-lasting residual weed control, check out Evinco Vilify and our newest mix, Rixa. For application, flexibility, and season-long control, that's Evinco Vilify and Rixa, powered by Bellum. For more information, visit bellumherbicide.com. That's B-E-L-L-U-M herbicide.com.
A pasture should have two things: grass and cattle. No weeds, no brush. That's why Chaparral Herbicide offers the broadest spectrum weed control available. It controls weeds other products can miss, like buckbrush and Canada thistle. And less weeds and brush in your pastures means more forage, so you spend less on feed. Chaparral also suppresses seed heads, lessening the effects of fescue toxicosis, all while providing season-long residual control. Visit noweedsnobrush.com today and learn more about Chaparral.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're talking about pre-emerge corn herbicides. Yeah, we're a little optimistic that spring will eventually get here. Doesn't seem like that with this huge blanket of snow we got out there, but hey, it won't be too long and we'll be out in the fields again. We got Randy Cool with us with Syngenta. Randy, thanks for joining us today.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, we had a couple of things come up already. One was photo decomposition and leaving products on the soil surface. And this is one I know we've talked about with metolachlor for years and years that, hey, here's one. It doesn't have to be incorporated. It'd be awesome in a lot of cases if you could lightly incorporate it, but you could leave it on top of the ground. How big a deal is photo decomposition, and what do we need to know about that?
Well, I think the biggest deal is knowing what herbicide you're working with, because the different families will decompose, you know, differently. You know, and as you mentioned, the S-metolachlor, dual products, have some safeners in there so they don't decompose as quickly. But you really need to know what group of herbicide you're working with.
Yeah, that's for sure. And there are quite a few for the guys that are in no-till that are safe to put on top of the ground. And in the spring, one of the cool things, too, is we generally get rain fairly frequently. So once we get some rain and move stuff down into the soil, we can consider it safely bound to those soil particles. Now, when we're talking about pre's, Randy, there's so many anymore, so many combinations and products like we've been talking about the HPPDs a little bit. The new bicyclopyrone would be one that's getting used pre-emerge with pretty good effectiveness.
Yeah, it's in our Acuron product. In Acuron, we've got the bicyclopyrone, the Callisto, atrazine, and the dual 2 magnum, which makes a nice combination. And the real key for that is it's, you know, very effective on water hemp. You've got multiple modes of action in there that do a great job on those small seeded broadleaves.
You know, when you're using something like Acuron, we we just try to set expectations right, because like you say, you've got four chemistries in there that are pretty effective on the weeds that we're going after. But it's not saying you're never going to have to come back with a post-emerge product. In most cases, we see some of the, especially large-seeded broadleaves, come through a lot of our pre-treatments, no matter what we're using. How do you stack that up? If you're coming in pre-emerge with such a powerful pack, what do you normally plan on for post-emerge applications?
Well, what I like to do is do a split shot, so two applications is always best. I know some growers with compressed spring are going to think about trying to get by with the one pass, but my recommendation is always a two pass would be best. So we could do a split shot of Acuron. So, for example, usually we use about a 3-quart rake, so you could do a quart and a half or 2-quart up front, then come back with a quart and a half, or you could do, you know, good shot of Acuron early, come back with Halix GT, things like that. I think, you know, when you talk about the large seeded broadleaves, the biggest things we probably get into is the morning glories late. So that second application later in the season definitely adds to the control.
All right. When we're talking about doing incorporation, and I'd love to get your opinion on this as well, what do you recommend to guys that say, okay, I'm going to spray it and I'm going to work it in. What should I watch out for?
The main thing you want to watch out for is not getting the herbicide too deep. We look at water hemp. The seeds usually germinate in that top quarter inch of the soil, so we want to keep that herbicide as close to that soil layer at the top as we can to interact with that wheat seed. So the biggest problem I get into is people incorporate it too deep, and they can also streak at things like that. And, of course, then they won't be happy with control.
Okay, here's the reason I asked the question, Randy, because this is the impossible question. We didn't get fall tillage done last year, and we might have a little bit of a mess we created from harvest. I've heard this over and over again this spring. This winter, how on earth are we going to deal with all that in the spring? We got to do the tillage first, don't we?
Yes, I would agree. Go ahead and get that field leveled off, get those ruts taken care of. That would be the best, and then we can do our herbicide applications over the top. I mean, with a product like Acuron, you got a lot of flexibility. We can put it on pre-emerge to 12-inch corn. So, of course, we don't want to do that. We want to manage weeds as early as possible, but it does give us flexibility. But I would recommend getting that tillage done and then go ahead and do your herbicide application.
Yeah, I agree, and I know it's just another thing we've got to do in the spring, but hey, those are just the cards we were dealt. If we want these pre-emerge herbicides to work, we gotta have a nice, even, flat seed bed out there to put them on. I've seen this too many times, Randy, where we've got those ruts or just some up and downs. So maybe we got some tillage done, but it's big chunks out there. It just leads to uneven distribution of that herbicide. Do you always see that being a problem?
Well, if we have, you know, big chunks out there or clods, stuff like that, yeah, it can definitely be a problem. It's going to take a lot of rainfall to get that more uniform in the soil, and a lot of times that doesn't happen just because we can't move enough soil to make it work.
Yep, I agree. And let's just say that we have a delayed spring. Using something like Acuron really could be a burn down as well, right?
Yeah, it has great burn down capabilities. What I would recommend is putting glyphosate in with it. Help take care of some grass. It'll take care of some small grass, but if you have some small mare's tail, giant rag, you know, things like that, just start to poke through. It'll do a nice job of burn down.
Yeah, we've been talking with Randy Cool with Syngenta. Randy, thank you so much. Really appreciate having you on.
Thank you. Have a great spring.
Yep, you as well. Yeah, I hope spring is right around the corner. You know, Brian, we've kind of started diving into some of these mini issues that we've got with getting pre-emerge herbicides out, but it's just critical. Whenever we don't put a pre-emerge out, and our fields have been pretty clean, it can be a disaster really quick.
All right, but here's what a lot of people talk about doing. They want to go one shot. And I understand. I mean, it'd be great if we could get by with one shot and we're in good shape and we have perfect weed control and we never lost any yield. Our concern with that is that the timeliness isn't just right. And here's what I mean by that. If you see weeds in your field, then you've already lost at least a little bit of yield. It might not be much, as long as those weeds are tiny and there aren't very many of them. But if you have quite a few weeds and they're getting any size to them at all, you've already lost some yield. So we want to get the weeds before they're emerging or right when they're emerging. Okay, so we've got that end of the spectrum. Then on the flip side, we would like to have our fields clean all the way through until crop canopy. Once we get to crop canopy, then generally speaking, we're in good shape after that. And we don't have weeds come back because crop canopy chokes them out. So I want to have basically the best of both worlds. I want the early control, but I also want the late control. And unfortunately, Mother Nature is sporadic. We don't know when we're going to get heat. We don't know when we're going to get rainfall. And that makes it really challenging. Also, it's just a lot to ask for a herbicide if we want more than 30 days worth of control out of it. We all of a sudden want 60 days or maybe even 90 days. I mean, don't get me wrong, there will still be some herbicide there and we'll still get some activity out of it after a long time, but it likely will not be perfect anymore. So what we usually recommend to people is use something pre-emerge and then follow with something post-emerge later on so you can get, basically you can clean up any escapes. Now this gets to be a bigger deal the heavier your weed pressure is. Also, when I talked about crop canopy, let's think about what are the conditions where I can get better crop canopy? Well, it's higher planting populations and it's narrower row spacings. So if you are in low planting population with wide rows, then basically you need herbicide control a little bit longer in the season is what I'm trying to say. So these are the things that we're usually talking about. And again, I'm going to go back to we got to decide, do I need grass control or broadleaf control, number one. I just tell you this. If you're a conventional corn farmer, you need grass control. Make absolutely sure you're using a full rate of a Group 15 to get great grass control. And Group 15s, again, we're talking Harness, Surpass, Outlook, Dual, Zidua, that overall chemical family. If you have Roundup Ready crops, Liberty Link crops, Enlist, then you're probably saying, you know what, I'm much more concerned about the broadleaf end of things than I am about the grass end of things because I'm going to come later on with either glyphosate or Liberty to clean up the grass and some broadleaves. So I want at least some broadleaf control early on and more than just what the Group 15 is going to give me. That's where we usually end up suggesting, well, have an HPPD or a PPO, one of those products, in there in that premix for your pre-emerge.
Yeah, I love getting those broadleaves taken care of in my grass crop rotation because it's just tough to get them under control in soybeans.
All right, we got to talk a little more about how to get the best bang for the buck with any pre-emerge herbicide you use. That's coming up next here on Ag PhD Radio.
If you're a rancher who's obsessed with keeping your pastures clear, turn to Grazon Next Herbicide. It offers superior broadleaf weed control, so instead of thinking about weeds, you can think about the money you'll save growing more grass and buying less feed. Used early in the season, Grazon Next also provides residual activity that controls newly emerged weed seedlings, giving you season-long control. Start enhancing your land while you protect it. Visit leavetheweedstous.com to learn more about Grazon Next. Always read and follow label directions.
In farming, there's a lot of variables out of our control. Don't let fertility be one of them. Let the experts at AgroLiquid move you closer to your bullseye. It's true. AgroLiquid fertilizers are formulated to keep nutrients available to your crop, and they have unmatched compatibility with other nutrients and crop protection products, which makes application more efficient than ever. But we also have the best people in the field, ready to talk about your operation, your goals. Go to agroliquid.com to move you closer to your target.
Your independent spirit is more rewarding than ever before. Unlike incentive programs that require growers to purchase a particular seed brand or to bundle certain products, the FMC Freedom Pass program rewards you for making the best choices for your fields. You decide what's best for your operation, from pre-plant to harvest. Your retailer and FMC take care of the rest. It's really that simple. The exclusive agronomic rewards, performance assurances, application innovations, and product financing of the FMC Freedom Pass program make it easier to protect your crops and cash flow. That's what we mean when we say we give you more freedom in the field. You'll experience more control and confidence, too. Generics and imitators can't promise that. Visit your authorized FMC retailer or FMCFreedomPass.com to calculate your potential financial incentive and learn more.
In farming, getting things done early has a way of setting you up for success, like using Corvus for an early season win over weeds. Corvus keeps even the toughest weeds from gaining a foothold. Multiple sites of action deliver superior control of emerged weeds. And later, Corvus reactivates with just a half inch of rain to take out any new weeds that may have sprouted. So get an early season win against weeds with Corvus for end of season rewards. Always read and follow label instructions. Corvus is a restricted use pesticide.
High-yield corn growers know that feeding the crop and soil are keys to maximizing yield potential. Nutec's EDA and Reverb are specifically formulated to help manage limiting factors associated with today's farming conditions. Nutec's EDA works within the plant to support nutrient mobility and utilization. Reverb focuses on the soil, providing beneficial trace elements which help condition the root zone for optimal microbial activity. Low use rates and superb tank mix compatibility make Nutec's EDA and Reverb no-brainers in the high-yield grower toolbox.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. We're talking about pre-emerged corn herbicides today. And Brian, you brought up something right at the end of the last segment. You said, let's talk about how to get the most bang for your buck. And that's what it's all about.
Yep. I would just put it to you this way. I am a huge believer in using pre-emerge herbicides pre-emerge as opposed to right after the crop emerges. I just want to make sure that I get it out there. That's probably the biggest thing because it's very common where we say, you know what, let's wait until the corn is spiking. I'm going to plant all my corn. Then I'm going to wait till the corn, and you know what, I might just plant all my beans too. And then I'm going to go spray my herbicide. And the corn's probably going to be spiking at that point, but no big deal. Okay, that's great to talk about in theory, but the problem is we might get 2 weeks of rain. All of a sudden, the weeds get ahead of us. And yes, you can probably still kill them, but how much yield have you given up? That's what I really get worried about. So if I'm going to get a herbicide out there, number one, I'd like to have it pre-emerge. Two, let's talk about how we make it work better. Ideally, for the best performance, I would like your pre-emerge herbicide very lightly incorporated. And I realize there are many companies that are going to tell you don't incorporate it. What they worry about is that you're going to bury it. What I want from you, though, if you do incorporate, is to get it down just a little bit in the ground. We don't need it a lot, even if it's an inch down in the ground. Now you've put it right where it needs to be, right where a lot of the weeds are going to germinate, and you don't have to have rain to move it down to there. So this is not nearly as big a concern in the eastern Corn Belt as it is in the western Corn Belt. Here in the western Corn Belt, it's very common for us to go a month without rain. So we put the herbicide out. We don't get rain. All of a sudden, the weeds start coming up, and we go, oh, it's a failure, and the herbicide didn't work. Well, technically, I suppose the herbicide didn't work, but the herbicide's still there, and the herbicide can work if we give it some rain. But why do we need to give it rain? If we lightly incorporate it, now we've got it down into the ground, and if your weed is going to germinate, that means that there's moisture there. Okay, if there was no moisture there, then the weed wouldn't germinate either, and then we're fine. We don't have to kill the weed because the weed isn't even germinating. You see where I'm going with this. So I'd really like it very lightly incorporated. That's the best way to make it work. I'm not saying you have to do it that way, but I'm just saying if you want to make it work in all conditions, that's the best way to do it. Now, my second choice is to apply it early. Like on our farm here, I'm really hoping late in March, we're going to have a few days where the ground is frozen in the mornings, thawing in the afternoons, and hopefully we've got most of our snow gone by then, that we can go out there and spray some herbicide. I mean, we can very quickly spray lots of acres anymore. We've got a great big sprayer, 120-foot boom. I mean, most farmers nowadays, it feels like to me, around here anyway, can spray 300 to 500 acres in a morning. So if we do that, it just takes a few mornings, and boy, you can have a ton of acres done. And then you've got that herbicide out there. And here, I was mentioning this a little bit earlier in the show, but you know, when we have cold climates like ours, you put that herbicide out, and a lot of people think, well, you're starting to lose it right away when you put it out there. Really? I don't think so. When the weather's 40 degrees in the daytime and it's 20 degrees at night, how many weeds are growing? None. So are we really losing the herbicide? No, I'm not that worried about it. As long as we want to plant relatively early and we're confident in those acres that we can plant them relatively early, we're in pretty good shape. What I worry about is we put the herbicide out and then we don't plant the crop until the 1st of June. Well, of course, by then we are going to use up a lot of that herbicide because so many weeds will be growing. So we want to plant our crop relatively early, get good crop canopy as quickly as we can, and that herbicide is going to work phenomenally well. My third choice for how I would put the herbicide on is after I plant the crop. Before emergence, but after I plant the crop. And you got to think about it. At that point, then we're usually hoping for rain pretty quickly because the weeds are usually going to start germinating and start emerging very quickly after planting. So we've got to get rain fast. That's why I worry about that particular type of application so much. So use a good rate, use the right herbicide, pick a herbicide that's going to match up with your weed spectrum, and then my preference is lightly incorporate it or apply it real early, but at least get it applied pre-emerge so we can stop a lot of those weeds before they get up and cause a problem in your crop.
Okay, here's one of the things, Brian, that I talk to farmers all the time. They say, well, I used to put it out before I plant, but then with my planter, I'm kicking some soil out of the row, and now I've got some fresh soil there, and sometimes I'll see some weeds right in the row. That's why I got into putting it on after I plant.
Well, yeah, but that's when they're going to put it on a day before they plant. If you're stuck and you didn't get the herbicide on early, I'm talking 2+ weeks in advance of planting. When I say I want to be spraying out there in March in our geography, I expect to plant the middle of April, I'm 2 weeks at least in advance of planting. If you're going to do it a day before planting or 3 days before planting and there's no rain in the forecast, then yes, you have that risk. But as you say that, Darren, it's very rare when I go out to fields and I see that kind of thing actually happening in the field. So a lot of times, yes, we might move some soil, but then we bring the soil back in. I mean, just think about it for a second. Do you plant in a valley? No, you might move a little dirt away, but then you typically are moving it back in there with the planter too. So the herbicide may move out, moves back in. Usually that's not a real big issue.
Okay, the other thing is fertilizer. We talked to a lot of farmers that say, I didn't get any of my fall fertilizer done. I'm going to put some liquid nitrogen out. Can I do that with my pre? Is there any issue to that? Because I normally hear really good results from guys that put the liquid nitrogen out with their pre-herbicide.
There are two issues. Number one, you have to worry about mixing and just do a jar test in advance. It was funny. Just a couple years ago, somebody sent an email in saying, well, nobody does jar tests. I'm like, don't say nobody, because we do, and a lot of farmers I know do jar tests, and
well,
you need to do a jar test.
Anybody that's ever had a problem, jar tests
exactly.
100% of the time now.
Exactly.
Once that's you've had to clean junk out of a sprayer and a spray boom and everything, oh my goodness.
Right, but typically, no, we don't have issues when you're putting liquid fertilizer together with a herbicide and many times even a herbicide premix. So 99.9% of the time, that is just fine in terms of the mixing. The other thing, though, I'll say is you're usually going to see more weeds when herbicide goes with when fertilizer, I should say, goes with the herbicide instead of just water. What I mean by that is this. Fertilizer isn't just for crop. Fertilizer also fertilizes the weeds. So you're going to have a little bit heavier pressure whenever there's fertilizer out there. I think that's a good thing because we get a lot of those weeds to start maybe a little sooner than they would, maybe even a year before they might normally. We want fertilizer out there. So no, as a general statement, putting fertilizer with herbicide is a great thing. Pre-emerge.
All right, Brian, we're getting a number of questions that are coming in. Do you want to tackle those, or you got anything else you want to say to wrap up pre-emerge herbicides?
Yes, I want to spend the rest of this segment talking about the pre-emerge corn herbicide since we're just about out of time here anyway. And the number one thing that I want to leave you with today is make sure that you're addressing weeds as early as possible in the season to get great yield. Okay, it's not just about seeing weeds. It's about yield. We want great yield. That's why we want to use pre-emerge herbicide. Last thing I'll say in this segment is atrazine. I am not a believer at all in using pre-emerge atrazine, and here's the reason why. It all comes back to the environmental aspect of things. If you ask a consumer on the streets of, let's say, New York or Los Angeles or Houston, you know, the big cities, Do they think farmers are doing a perfect job? Do they think farmers are doing a great job? Or are they kind of questioning what farmers are doing? Well, unfortunately, there are a lot of people in the United States today, and even for that matter in Canada, who are questioning what we as farmers are doing. And part of the reason why they question things is because of products like atrazine that have been found in groundwater. Now, if you look at the LD50, the lethal dose for atrazine is very similar to table salt. Okay, so it's not like atrazine is the most dangerous product in the world or anything, but it leaches. We know that. So as farmers, let's not put it out in situations where it can leach. Well, think about when you apply it pre-emerge, there's no crop growing, there are no weeds growing, there is not a lot of sunlight, there is not a lot of heat, and there is ample rainfall. So that is a recipe for atrazine moving through our soil. If you use atrazine post-emerge instead, your odds are going to go down dramatically for ever having that in groundwater. So it all comes back to this whole political, environmental thing. Use atrazine post, not pre. All right, we'll get to the Ag PhD mailbag right after this on Ag PhD Radio.
Every farmer knows that in order to be profitable, you need to maximize the return on your crop input investments. Hi, I'm Scott Harms, an ag risk specialist with Grain PhD. Without an effective and flexible strategy, your grain marketing plan gets stuck in the mud. With Grain PhD, you get the clarity and guidance a solid marketing plan needs. Our free GrainBridge software simplifies your cost-profit analysis, and our risk specialists are here to help you develop your plan. Sign up today at GrainPhD.com.
Increase your productivity with Hypro's Dual React Control System. The dual nozzle body design allows you to drive at the speed you want while maintaining the rate and droplet size you need. Hypro, helping you spray better.
Interested in strip tillage? You should know about the Soil Warrior from ETS. With one pass efficiency, optimized nutrient placement, and reduced production costs for higher profitability, the Soil Warrior brings the future to your farm. Visit soilwarrior.com to learn more.
Hey, Bill, any advice to control tough weeds and rootworms?
That's easy, Jim. Buy two, save three.
Wait, for weeds and rootworms?
Buy two, save three. Combine your Impact or new Impact Z herbicide purchase with a qualifying insecticide and save $3 per acre.
Buy two, save three. That is good advice.
For details, go to buy2save3.com. Impact, Impact Z, and Buy 2 Save 3 are trademarks owned by Amvac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Your grain bin fans can cost you a lot. High electric bills from running when conditions are not ideal, shrinkage from overdried grain, and spoiled grain all take money out of your pocket. With the Steps GMS app temperature humidity switch, get your bin fans to start making you money. Only run vans when the conditions are right. Eliminate shrink and spoilage in your bins. Deliver grain in top condition at market moisture. When every dollar counts, you need Steps GMS. Contact us today at stepsgms.com.
You know what's convenient? If you're a soybean grower, what's convenient is Zidua Pro Herbicide. That's because you get fast and complete burn down together with up to 2 weeks longer residual than other herbicides and three sites of action for broad spectrum weed control, plus built-in resistance management. All in one convenient jug. And that turns out to be very inconvenient for pigweed, water hemp, and maristail. Contact your local BASF rep today. Grow smart with BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
With the success of the Case IH Steiger Quad Track and Magnum Road Track tractors, it's no secret why Case IH is the leader of the track. So it wasn't surprising when the competition started imitating us, because Case IH offered the first five-axle design to give you more power to the ground with less burming and compaction, all to help you be more productive. Still, we're flattered. In fact, if we weren't already red, we'd be blushing. To learn more, visit caseih.com/tracks.
Hey everybody, come on in. The Ag PhD mailbag is about to begin. You're listening to Ag PhD Radio. The Ag PhD mailbag time is the part of the show where we answer your questions. We've got a number of questions that have come into our email box. It's radio at agphd.com. I want to get to some of those. DK had a good question, Brian, because we use this term a lot today. He said, what is an HPPD herbicide exactly? Well, it's a really, really long name. That's the reason we say HPPD. It's actually 4-hydroxyphenylpyruvate dioxygenase inhibitors. And I know that means a lot to you, but basically it just prevents the breakdown of a certain amino acid called tyrosine in the plant. That's it. So it sounds like, oh my goodness, that's really crazy stuff, but it's actually something that you can find in plants and animals, this enzyme, and it just breaks down this amino acid. That's what the job is, or prevents the breakdown of that amino acid. So by utilizing something within plants already to basically kill undesirable plants in our fields, hey, we've got a pretty effective herbicide. It's one that gives a little more timing flexibility for farmers. They can spray it a little bit longer into the season than they can with some other herbicides, and its human safety is better than some of the previous classes that have come out. So there's some good reasons to use this chemistry. There's a lot of products in the market today that are HPPDs. In corn, we hear a lot about mesotrione, and we hear about tembotrione, which is Laudis. Meso is Callisto. This new bicyclopyrone, Balance, which is isoxaflutol. In wheat, we've got products like Husky, which are pyrosulfitols. We've got all these pre-corn herbicide premixes like Halex and Resicor and Acuron. There's just tons of these HPPDs out there. So really important class of chemistry in agriculture. Thanks for the question, DK. Really appreciate that. Get a soil test, Brian, or actually a few soil tests for you to take a look at. This is from Ryan, and I think Ryan's in Minnesota. He says, curious what your thoughts would be for fertility recommendations. I've got an old lake bottom. Previously, it was corn. Now I'm going into food-grade soybeans. I'm wondering about my high calcium numbers, how that may affect my approach to fertility, and what my best dollar spent would be this year going into beans.
All right. Let me just first say, almost any good clay soil can be fixed, adjusted, maximized. I mean, there's no question about that. The question is, what's it going to cost? Now, I'm not familiar. I've heard of this lab that he's using here, but you know, it's not the one that we would normally use. So I don't know 100% on the numbers and how they're going to correlate. But all I can tell you is he's got some cation exchange capacities as low as 28. Okay, total exchange capacity is what's listed here. As low as 28. All right, we have a lot of soil that's in that range of 28 to 35, just like he does. But he's got some outliers here that are, the highest one I see is 118. We talk often about how, all right, for cation exchange capacity, less than 10 is a light soil, 10 to 20, kind of a medium soil. Above 20, we consider heavy soil. Well, what's 118? That's crazy heavy. 22,000 parts per million on calcium. There is a tremendous amount out there. Now, can the soil actually hold that much? Is the clay actually that fine? I don't know. You could certainly try using some elemental sulfur and see what ends up flushing out of there over time. You need sulfur anyway. But the whole thing is, when I see a soil that's that heavy, and also, by the way, he's as low as 0.25% base saturation K, that's not going to get it done. We've got to get a lot more potassium out there. Soybeans need a crazy amount of potassium on a per day basis at their peak. So how are you going to do that? If it was me, how I would do that is I'd plant in rows and I would do some strip till. I would also put on a little bit of fertilizer like in 2x2 with the planter, or consider that. You can use a tiny amount in furrow, but you just can't use much in beans. So that's what I'd do, so then I've got a concentrated band. Because with that much calcium out there, and his soil pH is around 8, I just fear that we're going to get a lot of tie-up of different nutrients, everything from phosphorus to the micronutrients. So if it was me, I would band, and I would put on at least what the crop is going to remove for grain removal only, and I might even put on a little more than that. So when I look at his potassium numbers, he's got 100 to 200 parts per million of potassium. So it's not like it's nothing. But the problem is when the calcium level is so high and the magnesium level is kind of high, I'm just really worried about how this is going to go, because we don't typically deal with soil that's that heavy. I would also say, coming to the magnesium side of things, some of those numbers look really low also. But again, I'm wondering how much of that calcium is actually tied to the soil molecules or soil particles, I should say, and how much is just kind of free out in the soil. I don't know based on the soil test. So I'd experiment with some stuff, but as heavy as this is, I can't really tell you that we're going to run our normal, or that I'd be comfortable with a normal broadcast program where we're just going to continue to try to build that soil up.
Hey, thanks for the question. We really appreciate that. Yeah, there's sometimes there aren't the easiest answers out there, but and it's often not something we can turn around in a real hurry. But again, you're planting a crop this spring. What can we do the best? I agree with you, Brian. We got to have some available fertility close. Got a question or a comment here from Jib, and he said, wondering about broadcasting fertilizer in the fall with fall tillage. Do you like that? Obviously, that's probably not going to happen for a lot of guys this year, but is that something you would prefer?
Well, there are a lot of different ways to put fertilizer on. If you need to build your overall soil levels, then yes, that's fine. We talk quite often about how we use dry to build soil levels when we're terribly low. When we're in good shape, or even we're very high, then you might not need to do that. Always, we are using some liquid fertilizer with pretty much every crop we're going to raise in the spring. And part of the reason why we do that is because we have cold soils. And a lot of the dry fertilizer won't be available and broken down by then. And even the fertilizer, the fertility that's carried over from year to year in your soil may not be fully available. So we like having at least a little bit of starter fertilizer out there. We've seen good results with that as long as we're using a low salt liquid product. So there are a lot of ways to do it, and I guess, you know, I'd like to see soil tests, and then we can talk about your situation. But no, I like dry P and K and zinc in the fall. Those nutrients aren't going to leach out. Copper would be another one you could throw out there, but you know, they aren't going to leach out by spring in the vast majority of soils out there. So why not get them out there earlier so they can break down, and hopefully they'll be a little bit more available come spring when our crop needs them. One of my fears, especially in dry country, is that we don't get a lot of rainfall during the season. So if you put a dry fertilizer on in the spring and you don't get rain until, you know, much later, that fertilizer really wasn't for this year. It was more for next year. And usually when I'm fertilizing, I'm thinking about this year. Yeah, I might want to build my soils for the long term, but I'm also thinking about what can I do for this year's crop to benefit that.
All right. Thanks for the question. Really appreciate that, Jim. Get one from Patrick here, and we were talking about corn pre-emerge today, but he said, we plant a lot of cover crops on corn ground going into soybeans into beans for hay. We're using the cover crop or baling it up. My question is, can we still apply a pre-emerge for soybeans if we plan to plant very quickly after applying that product, or should we wait for some regrowth? I'm trying to do my best to not removing the hay create a situation where we sacrifice soybean yield. So we got to cut hay, yet we have to get a pre-emerge out there. How does that work out, Brian, with cover crops?
Okay, in dry country, it doesn't work, and usually the soybean yield suffers dramatically. If you've got ample rainfall, it can work. So, yeah, getting the pre-emerge herbicide out, I would like to get that residue off, get that hay off of there, and then go ahead and spray the pre-emerge herbicide. And it can work fine. You know, the herbicide will work down through residue, just may take a little longer. So you might want to run with a little bit more water, try to get the stuff down to the ground as much as you can. Then obviously you got to hope for rain, or you got to do tillage.
All right, thanks for all the questions today. Really appreciate that, and a good discussion on pre-emerge corn herbicides. Hopefully we can get out in the fields and put some on soon. Thanks for listening to our show today. Be sure to join us again each weekday for more Ag PhD Radio. Now stay tuned for Rob Sharkey and Shark Farmer Radio.